phrase, that is that chof chet.
And we're holding, and the two dots are chof chet or the bait. And the explanation of what Rav Yehuda was trying to say in the Mishnah, that it's chayav. Because we've had a long discussion about other issues in between, let's just take a look and review once again the lashon of the Mishnah to see exactly what it is that Rav Yehuda is saying and why it introduces problems. The Mishnah is quite short, in Amud Aleph, Rav Ches Amud Aleph. So it said over there, Nishbarak Hadog Rishut HaRabim, somebody's jug breaks in Rishut HaRabim, Yuchlak Echad B'mayim, somebody either slips on the water, or he's hurt by the Harsit, he's chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'mitkaven chayav, she'no mitkaven patur, which is a little bit strange. If he meant what? If he meant to break the cut, the pashtus of the Mishnah is that the words Nishbarak Hadog describe the situation that both the Tanakhama, namely Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda are talking about. The Nishbarak Hadog refers to passive breaking. The cod was broken, not that he went to break it. It's a little difficult to say that Rabbi Yehuda actually wants to change the case. So he says that somehow we're talking about if he meant to break it. Well, of course, if he meant to break it, I mean, we'd be talking about something that seems to be entirely different than the question of a simple bore, but let's see. So asks the Gemara, when Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mitkaven chayav, heichi dami mitkaven, what exactly do you mean when you say he had intent? Omar Rabba, when Rabbi Yehuda refers to intent, doesn't mean a direct intent of breaking, for which we would never be able to say the words nishbarak kado. We'd have to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, im shavar kado. So where do we get the sense of intent, despite the fact that the breakage was accidental? Says Rabbi, it means that he was mitkaven, he was trying to do something. It's not that the cat simply fell to pieces. He decided that he's taking the jug off of his back, which is usually where you carry it. He tries to let go of the jug so that it falls down to the ground gently, and instead it breaks against the wall, and he didn't notice. So he's mitkaven lo rida lamata miktefo. He's trying to get it off of his shoulders. So as happens sometimes when you release a backpack, it accidentally breaks. Omalei Abaya, but wait. So then, if that's the case, what you're saying is that the Tanakhama, namely Rabbi Meir, when they were referring to nishbarak hadog, they were talking about even less of an accident than that. In other words, what you're talking about is that it just fell apart on its own. You weren't even trying to, you were walking along, minding your own business, nishbarak hadog, and you're going to tell me that he's chayav for such a thing? So is that what you mean to say? That michlal, says Rabbi Meir, michlal de b'chayav, says why? Michlal de b'chayav, Rabbi Meir, afil nifshira, but even if it melts. So it's just like, all of a sudden the thing falls to pieces, you're going to become chayav on that. And that's considered to be the creation of a bar. Omale, that's exactly what I'm saying, says Rabbi. In Mechayev Hayar Rabbi Meir, afilu aznar biyado. The guy is carrying a cod, holding a handle, and suddenly looks and all is holding the handle, and the cod fell off of the handle. Now, that's not something that you expect to happen. There is certainly no intent whatsoever. Seems to be a complete onus. Even in that case, Rabbi Meir is Mechayev here. Says the Gemara, you're kidding. I mean, but the Torah is not like that. I mean, isn't that a complete onus? Am I anuso? I mean, it's true that we did learn from before the Petzat Achaspatza. Remember, we learned Adam wa Deolam, Ben Shogeg, Ben Mezid, Ben Anus. Oh, Ben Anus, but as Tosis explained earlier, it's clear from the Gemara that we had before that a complete Anus is not going to be his vice at all. I mean, so this seems to be a complete Anus. Anus Rachmana Patre. We know that when you do nothing at all, the Torah is not mechayev you. That's a beferish of pasuk. Is it not? Tichtiv la'arala ta'aset avar. In the case of a rape, we don't blame the victim. What do you say? So over here, I mean, what does it have to do with me? V'chitema, maybe you'll say, okay, I mean, look, that's talking about blaming the victim in terms of a chiyuv misa and so on. I understand that for that you have to have some level of involvement in what you're doing. So v'chitema, hanami l'din yiktama, you'll try to tell me that the din of Adas Rachman Patre is only said legabe capital cases. Maybe you'll try to tell me that in this case we hold you responsible despite the fact that there's nothing that you could have done about it. Of course, we haven't exactly explained what happened. It's not clear whether we're talking about it. We're talking about an Odomar Mazik, meaning that it fell, and while it was falling, it hit somebody, and that's the point of the Odomar Deolam, where we're talking about after it landed, and there was enough time to clean it up, and you didn't clean it up, which is a whole different issue. Was there not enough time to clean it up? I mean, there's all types of things here that are sitting there waiting to be looked into, which we haven't even begun discussing. But first, we're taking it as a general question. No matter what you're going to learn, isn't there an inyan of onus? No matter how we learn the level of the chiyuv over here, says the Gemara, maybe you'll try to say that, but you know what? It's not worth your time to argue the point, because I'm going to bring you a braita that is going to show that, in fact, Rabbi Meir does not argue on this case, where it's a complete onus. So let's not discuss it. Because Vatanya, that Rabbi Meir does not argue in the case that you're claiming that he argues. You're saying even if it melts in your hand. And I'm going to show you that that's not true. Vatanya, it says in the braita, Nishbara kado velo silko. Now, this is interesting, because here, we're raising the question of whether you clean it up or not. So your cot falls, but you didn't clean it up. Nafal gimalo velo hamido. Your camel falls, but you don't get it out of the way. So in that case, Rabbi Meir mechayev bezikan. We're going to see what the case is over here. I mean, does this mean that it was b'shogeg, that it was b'ones? Well, what exactly happened? To be seen. So Rabbi Meir in this case is mechayev bezik. The chachomim are patering. They're only patur. You're not chayev bezik at all. But that's only b'dinei adam. But you're chayev b'dinei shamayim. So that means obviously there was something that you could do. Because we're never mechayev b'dinei shamayim in a moral sense. That's for sure. In other words, it could be that the Torah simply says, look, you're chayev onesin. Then it's not a moral question. It's just a question of that there needs to be compensation. That's all. Like a shama. You become the equivalent of the violent. And then we're not talking about morality. We're just talking about who's going to suffer the loss. But once you tell me that I don't suffer the loss of Tzad Adin, if there was nothing that I could have done, it would be ridiculous to start coming along and telling me, well, you know, you're morally irresponsible. So we've got to be talking about over here where there is a level of moral responsibility that is to say that he had an opportunity to clean it up and didn't clean it up. At least that much we need. So in such a case, it would be chayev b'dinei shamayim. Umodim, but so far, it doesn't prove anything. But take a look at this. Here is where the braita addresses precisely our issue. Would Rabbi Meir have been mechayev you in a case where it simply melts? Huh? So here the braita continues to say, Umodim chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. Now, the chachamim are moded to Rabbi Meir that yes, you would be chayev. This means Rabbi Yudah is voted to Rabbi Meir that you would be chayev in a case where you took Avno Sakino Masa'o. Shinichan Barosh Gago. You left them on your roof in a way that they could be blown off Baruch Mitzuya. And they did. V'naflu Baruch Mitzuya. So this is a wind that's to be expected. It's the common kind of breeze that you get. And there they fall. Viziko, and they damage. And in that case, Rabbi Yudah said, well, that I'm certainly going to agree that that's a case of chiyuv, that's a pshi'ah. Umoda Rabbi Meir l'Rabbanan, whereas Rabbi Meir says, I would be moded to you that you would be potter, because it's a complete onus, in a case where you're malakan kanim alagag, and I don't want to talk about the case of Avnos Akino Maso, where over there you could say, well, maybe you weren't careful, because what's going to happen if it falls, I'm going to break, and heaven's not going to break. I talk about a guy who puts up his cups, he puts up his glasses, okay, he wants to dry them, he wants to air dry them. So he puts them up on this. Obviously, not going to put them in a way that they're going to blow over. That's the last thing that he wants. So he puts them up, that's where he does his air drying. No? And over there, all of a sudden, there came along a gust of wind that is unheard of in these parts. So over there, I'm honored that you're potter. Ah, so apparently, this is the version of Raita, that Rabbi Meir holds that you would be potter in a case where it's a complete onus. So to tell me this simplistic explanation that you gave me here, it's insufficient. You can't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda, that there's one simple case of the Mishnah. The Shaila is it mitkaven? Was there any attempt on your part to take off your backpack? Or did it just simply tear? And that's all there is to it, and you did nothing. That's not going to be enough. So I say, says Abaye, we look this over again, and we recognize that it's not so pashut. Ela Amar Abaye, the truth is that clearly you were overly simplistic anyway. Because, look, the Mishnah is definitely talking about two completely different things. Mishnahs don't sit around giving examples that are synonymous. There's two cases in the Mishnah. One is that somebody is damaged with the water, and the other one is that somebody hits himself against the charsit. Now, that's not the same case, I say, says Abaya, that what we're talking about is indeed precisely what it sounded like. Something was done purposefully. Cool it, baby, cool it. Something was done purposefully. And they're arguing on two completely different things. Pligi b'sha'at nefila. They're arguing in one case where things damage on their way down, upligi la'achar nefila, and these are two different arguments, pligi b'shat nefila. They're arguing about whether nitkal is a poshea. A guy over here slips, okay? Is that considered to be a negligent act? Then we expect you to be careful where you're going and not slip, because that's going to be machayev of you for anything that happens as a result of your slipping. If you're carrying a stone, you slip and release the stone and hit somebody in the head. That's a pshia. Be more careful. So that's one case that Rabbi Meir says, yes, you're chayev in that because you should be more careful and not slip. Now, that's certainly not an onus completely. That's the case, the equivalent case we said before. The guy's trying to let down his backpack. He's not sufficiently careful. But not the case where it simply melts away or that straps suddenly tear and so on. That's not considered to be a pshia according to anybody. If anybody Rabbi Meir, that would be a complete onus. Be punted. So that's the first question. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, listen, slipping is the kind of thing that happens to human beings. And it's something that happens to them. It's not something that they do. So in a case where you're nitkal, there's no pshia that's involved. So marsav nitkal poshev, marsav nitkal lo poshev. All right. But then there's another machlokas over here entirely. They're pligi li'achar nefila. They're also arguing about after the shards now hit the ground already. And what the question over there is, b'mafkir nizakav. The question is, once something has been made into a boar, if you are mafkir, are you still responsible? That's the shayla. So Mar Sefer Mafkir Nezakav Chayav. Rabbi Meir says you're chayav because of the fact that it was made by you. It doesn't matter anymore whether it's owned by you. Mar Sefer Patur. All right. Now, before we get into this, let's just take a look first at why Abaye is saying this. Umimai, what makes me say that there's two different issues involved in the Mishnah? The fact that there's two different cases in the Mishnah. Look, it says, Huchlak echad b'mayim. A, that somebody slips on the water, or he gets hit by a piece of the shard. I mean, I know half. What are you talking so much for? It's exactly the same case. What do I care? Elalav achitamar. What we mean is like this. Huchlak echad b'mayim b'shat nefila. So what we're talking about is, somebody now hits the water as the water is falling. That's what we're talking about. And there the question is not mafkir nezakav, but rather whether nitkal is porshea. And this is no longer a question of bor, this is a question of something that's coming directly here from the Adam. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, no, it would have to be the kavana to be b'chai of you. Because slipping is not negligent. So it would be literally kavana. Whereas the other cases where you fall and you now get wounded by a piece of broken harsit, that's talking about la'achar nefila, and we're talking over there the question of what is considered to be a bor. Now, this sugya actually touches upon, later on we're going to get into the details of this, but that's much further to come, how do we understand the nature of bor? And the truth is that we had yesterday, the beginnings of this discussion, in what it was that Rav and Shmuel were arguing about yesterday. Remember that we had the whole shayla of Rav and Shmuel. We were talking about, we're talking all along, if you're mafkir, you're chayav mishum bor. If you're not mafkir, according to Rav, you're chayav mishum shor, not mishum bor. Where does that come from, if you think about it? Because when the Torah says the din of ki yichra ish bor, it is not clear what we're talking about. Are we talking about that you dug a hole in the middle of Rosh Hashanah where you don't own anything? And had we not been told that there's this new concept called ownership of an empty hole, we would never have thought that we could, by any stretch of the imagination, call a hole Mamanamaz. This is a weird concept. So the Torah is coming now to tell me we create a new monster, which is invisible, the hole. And now that hole is your hole. It's weird. But I mean, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts, they charge you for that. If you want to buy just a hole, you could buy that. What do they call those? Yeah. In any event, that's one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. But another way of looking at it is like this. Actually, what it's referring to over here is a guy who digs a bore in his own rishus. No, so how is it that we're going to blame him for somebody falling into... Well, he's mafkir his rishus afterwards. But he's not mafkir the bottom of this bar. He says, look, I don't want anybody falling into my bore. This is my bore. Stay away. You want to use my rishus? Take precautions not to fall into that bar. Build yourself something around the bar and so on. I'm giving you my rishus. Now, that, I understand, may be the nature of bar. But if that's the nature of bar, then it fits into the general sense of what Momen HaMazik is. I own that bar. I really do own that bar. And when you hit your head against the ground in that bar, you're hitting your head on my bar. And you can see why this would also be nogea, the question of what exactly the Torah is being mechayev you for. Is being mechayev you for hitting your head? Are you mechayev for hitting your head? Or are you mechayev for, as we said yesterday, the hevel of the bar, the sudden change in air pressure, the difference in the type of air that's at the bottom of the bar? That's the question. Because there too, if you believe that it's your bar, then I can say, okay, so then the impact. I impacted him. It's my ground that hit his head. I own that ground. But if you hold, we're talking about a case of a bar in the middle of the Shus Arabim, I mean, look, there's a standard grum of an Azik, and I'm not chayev for causing something that hit somebody afterwards. So, you know, you slipped. Yeah, so, okay, I was a bad boy, you're right. I shouldn't have put something down there. But listen, in the end, you slipped. What hit you, I made it possible, but I certainly didn't do it. And that's always grum of an Azik, because I should be pumped. That's why we have this whole new concept. I know it's the hole that damages you, not the ground at the bottom of the hole. You see, that's involved also in that question. Once I raise that issue, though, I also have to give another question. If I'm learning that the bar that the Torah is talking about is a bar in my rishus, where I go ahead and now am mafkir my rishus, how about if I also was mafkir the bar? Would I be chayev there or not? Is that a bar or not? Now, suppose I learn that it's dafka, where I was mafkir the whole thing. But in the case where I actually own the thing, the Torah never called that a bor. How do I look at that? Oh, says Rob, that, the bor, the Torah is mechayev you are. This is talking about where you were mafkir, you're rishus with the bor. But if you had never been mafkir the bor, for God's sake, that's a shor, that's momen hamazik, standard momen hamazik. That's not holes that hit you. That's somebody's ground that hits you. What's it have to mean if you take a frying pan and hit the guy on the head, or you have the guy fall into the frying pan? It's the same thing. So you have the guy fall into the frying pan. Therefore, Rav yesterday said, we've seen this throughout the Masechta, that according to Rav, we're going to be b'chayev mishum shor, not mishum bar, because the Torah never discussed a bar that you owned at all. By definition, it was a whole new idea of a hole. Okay? Shmuel says, no, the Torah is b'chayev you, no matter what you did. You dug the bar. I don't care if you're mafkin the bar, you're not mafkin the bar. The point is, you dug it, and now it's the Rishus HaRabim is there, people are going to be there. So even if you were mafkin over there, the whole thing, you're going to be chayev, and that's chayev of bor. Therefore, he says consistently, it's bor, and therefore you'd be chayev for falling into this bor, even though you don't own the ground. So we already saw the beginnings of this issue yesterday. More fundamentally, today, the issue becomes a question of, forget about a bor in your rishus. The question is, what is that bor? Is the bor talking about specifically iske, kriya, because it says ki yichre ish bor? We're not interested in the fact that this was once your rishus. That's not the point. We're interested in the fact that you went out to do something damaging. So we could be talking about the middle of rishus aravim. You don't own anything. And since you went ahead, and in a hefker, no ownership whatsoever, you dug a bar, you'd be chayev. So that's the way Rabbi Meir holds. Which would mean that if somebody takes something that he owns, sets it down in the street, and is not scared there, what's the din? That's a bar. That's a classic bar. I don't care if you own it or not. Because the same way I was machai of you for digging a hole in Rishus HaRabim where you don't own anything, I'm machai of you for putting down a stone in Rishus HaRabim, even though you don't own anything. In which case, if something falls, says Rabbi Meir, look, listen here, buddy, it fell. Either you get it up or you're machai of. Don't tell me, well, it's not mine. I mean, I'm off you. You're all welcome to take it. Thank you very much. Either you're going to clean it up or you're going to pay. So as according to Rabbi Meir, we have this simple understanding of the nature of bor, ki yichre ish bor, and therefore there's a different issue over here. Is that yours? No. It's not mine. It was mafkir. Did it get there through you? Yeah, it did. Oh, okay. Then as far as I'm concerned, it's yours. Because that's exactly the bor that we're behind you. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, in this case, even though the shards are lying on the ground, you couldn't care less about the shards. However, this is how they got here. Then this is how you're hired. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, the nature of bor is dafka, where you owned it, and then you went ahead and you were mafkir, your rishus, and not your bor. That's the definition of bor. Not that there's a bor in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. So according to him, if you don't own your bar. So you're saying, hey, buddy, you dropped that. I know, but I was mafkered after I dropped it. How could the turkey machayev you? But you're a bad man. That's true. I'm chayev b'dini shamayim. I'm a bad man. But you're not going to be able to take me to court. That's not just guarding you that you were damaged, you see? Now, I own a pit bull. No, there. Okay, fine. That we'll see later on. What the din is in Mafkin and Zarkov, according to those who hold that board, this is, remember, there's a big difference between a passive mazik and an active mazik. We haven't seen what the din would be by showing such a case. But now, this is also, listen, why? Because clearly there ought to be a difference, even if you've analyzed the differences in board. Whether it's referring to a bor b'rushat harabim or a bor that was in my rishus, and then we have two possibilities. Why does mafkid rishus without the bor, or mafkid rishus with the bor? Those are going to be two different things. But so there's three different issues, remember. Rishus harabim means I'm chayav for creating the bor. Right? If the case of bor is that it's in my rishus and then I mafkir, I didn't do anything wrong in creating the bor. You can't say tzkilas asyasul has it. Correct? Didn't do anything. It's my rishus. Nobody had a right to come there. There was a fence around the whole thing. I did nothing wrong in digging that bore. I wanted a place for water to collect. I have every right to do what I want in my property. Don't come and tell me what I can do. So therefore, the act, nothing wrong with the act. Now there's two issues. I now let the rabbi in. You can't tell me that that's iske kriya. I didn't dig a bore at that point. Right? So what is the issue now? Whether, if you hold, I own the bore, and it's talking about it was mafkir, my rishus, without the bor, so then that means that being makarev, the rabim, to something which I own as a mazik, that too is bor. If we're talking about, even if I don't own the bor, then you're telling me that being makarev, the rabim, to a mazik, despite the fact that I did no iser in the kriya, that nonetheless, that too is a bor. Now, suppose I was a victim, which is the case over here. Suppose it just falls. There's no pshia whatsoever. The case of where I'm left holding the handle, what the heck? And there's the pieces all over the ground that say, now look, you know, I didn't do that and I don't own it. So I'm not going to sit here all day and clean that up. These are the kind of things that happen. On the surface, you would say that the machlokas about what a bor is reflects also on the machlokas of whether I have to clean things up. Correct? Remember, Abaye is saying there's two separate machlokas in here. Why are there two separate machlokas? Why don't we say, in the same way that we have a machlokas, whether nitkal is posheya, in terms of what happens with the water hitting you as it's falling. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you know, that's an accident. Okay, so if it's an accident, then you don't have to clean up what fell because you don't own it. And the only time the Torah was machayev you is when it wasn't an accident. But this was an accident. Whereas I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, well, if the water fell, that's it. Look, that's not called an accident. You know, you weren't being sufficiently careful if you tripped. And therefore, you're going to be responsible. Ah, so maybe that's why I'm responsible for not cleaning up the shards, because I wasn't sufficiently careful. And it's considered to be my fault that the shards were there. But then it's all one month focus. Is Nitkal Poshea or is Nitkal not Poshea? And yet Abaye claims there's two completely separate machlokas. One has to do with the chiyuv of my not being careful and allowing this water to fall on you. That's not bor, that's me who throws this water. Right? So the question is it a poshea or is it not a poshea? Is this the onus? Therefore, does something not included in the petzah takas patzah expansion of Adam or not? Then there's another machlokas claims Abaye. And that machlokas is across the board. Whether it is your fault or it's not your fault, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it was your fault, if it's your mafkir now, the nazik can have a chiyuv to clean it up. According to Rabbi Meir, even if it wasn't your fault, if you had an opportunity to clean it up, and it was a complete shia, you're also going to become chayev. Amazing. Now that's like one extreme to another. And something has nothing to do with it. How does Abaye know that that's the case? So in other words, we're going to have to say over here, this is the closest point out. Yes, Abaye had an easy way out. There's nothing that's forcing Abaye into saying, well, actually, there's two completely different machlokas, and one has to do with the Tikkun Poshea, and the other one has to do with understanding the idea of mafkin and zalkav la'ach and afila, because technically speaking, we have two types of nefila. Mafkin is zakav la'ach and afilat ones, and mafkin is zakav la'ach and afilat shia. So there ought to be a simple way of explaining it. Says Abaye, yes, sure there's a simple way of explaining it. But if there were, why would we have two completely different issues in the Mishnah? Therefore, says Abaye, I assert to you that indeed the Mishnah is addressing two completely unrelated issues. So if we say we're talking about a case in which where the Neyavim is Mechayev and Rebbe is Poter, which has to do with the shards, that's not because of the difference of how it fell. Those are two different cases. So you will ask, if that's the case, what does Rebbe Yehuda mean when he said b'mitkavein about the second case?
The second case of the
Chassid. The first case, I understand. There needed to be some level of nitka. Right? So he holds that nitka is poshea, therefore you have to be mechavein. But the Chassid, I thought you're saying, it's a makloket min hakatzeh al hakatzeh. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, if you don't own it, and certainly, I mean, your thing broke into a million pieces, I mean, obviously you're automatically masquerade, right? You certainly don't want to own it in order to go there and sweep it up. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, what does mitkavein mean? It wouldn't even matter if it was mitkavein since you don't own it. That the Gemara is going to ask. And of course, it immediately strikes you, Abaye is not going to be able to explain that one, is he? We're going to ask that on Abaye in a moment. So therefore, let's make it very clear. All of the issues here are interrelated in ways that are extremely complex. For us to simplify the argument as we originally tried to do, this is what Abaye is telling Rav. Oh, man. There's so much involved in it. What are you telling me that it has? I mean, that simply won't hold water. So, comes along now the Gemara indeed to say that we need to understand if this mission, before we get, we could have actually asked right here the question, what? But then what does mitkavein mean according to Abaye when it comes to the Chassid? However, before we get to that point of asking the question, which I'm sure was bothering all of you, and you couldn't wait till we skipped it and got to that question. But I'm asking you to hold on and just try now to allow yourselves to concentrate on the issue the Gemara wants to raise, even though you desperately want to know the solution to that problem. So before we get to that, we want to question Abaye's assertion for another reason. Because if Abaye is claiming that when we talk about two cases, we're talking about two different machlokas, then when we got to the Braita also had two different cases. What was the case of Nishpura Kadov, Alos Silko? And remember I pointed out to you that the Braita introduces this idea of not cleaning things up, which we hadn't seen in the Mishnah. Which now Abaye is Medayek in the Mishnah. The Mishnah obviously was also talking about that issue, which is why it talked about the Charsit. But when we come to the Braita immediately introduces two cases, one of a Kad and one of a Gamal, correct? Okay, so then if Abaye is learning that the Mishnah is arguing in two issues, how is he translating that into the Braita? Where is the Braita? What are the two issues in the Braita? So, Midamatnitin Betarta, the Braita that is patterned on this Mishnah, is also talking about Betarta. So tell me what the Tartei are. Because when you're talking about Kado, okay, Kado you could say, Mashkachat la'o b'sha'at nefilah, la'achat nefilah, you can learn that whatever you want. The Kad could be that the shards are there, and you didn't clean it up. And it could be talking about that somebody falls on it, or it could be talking about that it hits somebody on its way. But, I mean, the Gamal, Bishop of the Akram of the Filam, if the camel already fell, okay, so now the issue is, I mean, obviously it's not your fault that the camel, I mean, your camel collapsed. So you can say, look, we're talking about a case where you're mafkid in the Filah, and since you were mafkid in the Filah, according to Rabbi Meir, I don't care. You can't be mafkid in the Melah. Even though it's not your fault, that's the definition of a bar. You have to clean it up. It was your camel, now you're going to clean it up. And it won't help to say, but it wasn't my fault that the camel dropped dead. So what if it's not your fault? At the point that the bar was created, it was your camel, now you're going to have to clean it up, even though there was no chiyat. So I understand that part. But what in the world would Rabbi Yehuda be meaning about what being Ayachim Ashkachazla? Where then would be the chiyav over there, of saying nitka poshea, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Nitka poshea, camel drops dead is called nitka poshea. I don't understand. You're certainly going to say the camel slipping is a poshea of the adam. That the camel slips is my chia. So Abaye's going to have a very hard time saying that there's two bachlokas in the Braita, and this Braita is patterned after the Mishnah, and the Braita makes life much harder for him by already raising the issues up front of lo silko by the kad. And I went, so what are you telling me with the camel? Techem ashkachasma. Of course we can come up with a case of a camel that it's your fault. You went across the road when the road was over flooded with water so that the camel could not see where it's going. So it was only 3 inches of water. That's not the point. But in taking the camel in that area, you made it possible for the camel to slip and fall, which is what happened. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to say, oh, well, so then if that's the case, so then you were a pusheya. Well, okay. So it's talking about kegon de'ovra b'maya. It means over here that you pass through the water. Derech sar'ata de'nahara, by the way, this word, sar'ata, has become a very important word in modern Hebrew because we use it mistarea, which is not a word that occurs in older Hebrew. It's a modern Hebrew term. Mistarea is something is spread out over, or you can use it in terms of control, where one's control is mistarea over this area and so on. Now, this surprising use of the word because the only makar for that word is sarua vikalut in the Simone Behemet Meir. So Rashi says, indeed, sarua means spread apart. We're using it over here, sar'ata, the nahara, that the water that before was in the nahara at the edge is spread onto the road into mistarea. Something that is spreading out, coming across. Okay, but it's fascinating. It's makar is something you'd never think that could be used in the way in which it's used. But it's beautiful. This is the makar in the Gemara for that usage. Because the Rashi has to trace it back to the Parsha and Shmini that's discussing the issues of the Torah of the Beis. Okay, but in any event. What do you mean, why is he pushing it? Don't go there. Oh, that's the Gemara's ex kasha. Excellent. Our president's right on the ball. Okay, so now, ask the Gemara, but wait, Yechidami, I mean, Idiika Dakafrina, if there's another way, so then he's not considered to be a Nitkal, he's a straight out Porshea. What is he, a nut? What's he taking his animal somewhere where something like that can so easily happen? So then he's considered to be a direct Porshea. How would they be arguing Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir about whether that's called Porshea? Vidaleka Dakafrina, as our president has so kindly pointed out, if there's no other road, what's he supposed to do? So he's an owner, so you got to try your best. I mean, people do this all the time. The second highway they're going to do, sit in the highway for the next month. So they try to make their way across. But then that's called an owner. So what would be the case? You're right. Okay, let's try a different case. Ela mashkacha, I'll tell you where there would be a case about whether this is called nitzkal. Mashkacha plot the atkil v'itkil ebei gamla. It's talking about over here that he slipped, and because he slipped, he dragged the camel down with him, the camel now stumbled over him, and now the whole thing is a mess. Okay, so there it's the same machlokas. So we're talking about over here two machlokasen. He's mafkin esakav or not mafkin esakav. So the case of the camel is talking about, as usual, as Tosis points out, we've got two beautiful cases over here because shards, people are generally mafkir. Camels, people are generally not mafkir. Even if it's dead, its nevela is worth a heck of a lot. So why would it be mafkir? Therefore, we bring these two cases to indicate the two machlokas. If you're not mafkin ezakav, or if you are mafkin ezakav, then the question whether that's called the filas oines, or it's called the filas pshia, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, no chiyuv to get your stuff away. Okay, so ask them more, but if that's the case, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean mitkavein? If we're talking about a case of mafkin ezakav, and you're telling me that there, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you're mafkin ezakav, you're potter, you have to be mitkavein. But doesn't even make any sense. You have to be mitkavein for what? Because mitkaven is irrelevant. Mitkaven has to do with how it got there. But, I mean, if it's talking about something that's not yours, so who cares how it got there? I thought the whole point that Rabbi Yehuda says is, if it's an accident, I don't care how it got there. If it's an accident, so then you don't have to clean it up. I don't care whether you own it. So what are we talking about then over here now? You owned it at the time, but it's mafkin ezakav. So what's the case mitkaven? Over here, so no, of course, mitkaven would mean something entirely different here. When Rabbi Yehuda says mitkavein, Rabbi Yehuda would mean mitkavein to be zochin. So if the thing broke, so Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if the thing broke, then why would he want to keep it? Therefore, it's automatically mafkir it, and he's not responsible, even if it fell in a way that he was a poshea. So, but if he was mitkavein, meaning, but if he was mitkavein, lezakot becharsema. If, however, he wants the pieces, meaning that he wasn't mafkir it, so then, indeed, you would be chayev. But if you did not have kavana to keep it, then mafkin ezakav would be potter. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is all I'm saying all along. This abaya makes perfectly good sense. Two different machlokasin is mafkin ezakav chayev or potter, and is nitka poshea. Fine. Chenom Ravashi. Ravashi also said what Rabbi Yosef says. The only way to understand Rabbi Yehuda in this event is that mitkavein, if we're talking about mafkin ezakav, and that machloket, then obviously mitkavein is not talking about the initial event. Mitkavein is talking about the current status of ownership. Mitkavein means lizakot bechaseha. Okay. So we have now another pshat, a biased pshat, completely different than our opening pshat of Rabbah, in which he says that Ad Rabbah, Nitkavein is Nitkal, and that's Moshe Ali to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda Meir's Bechayev Afilo Be'ones. Abaya disproves that thoroughly from the Braita. And therefore, Abaya learns the Mishnah a far more sophisticated way. Let's analyze both cases. Let's analyze both cases of the Braita as well. Come up with two completely unrelated machlokasim. Although, as I mentioned, we could have related them, but that would have meant limiting the second case to a case that is Dafka, where the original Nefila was through the Nitka. And therefore, says Abaya, if we're talking about two cases, we're talking about two machlokasim. A is Nitka Poshe or not, according to Rabbi Meir, yes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. And therefore, what would Mitkavein mean on Libet Rabbi Yehuda? You actually want to break it. And there's also another machlokas. The other machlokas being, Mafke Nezakov, Liachra Nefila, whether it's Nefilat Ones or whether it's Nefilat Pesha. So he would argue there too. If it's Mafke Nezakov on Libet Rabbi Yehuda, that's not the bor that the Torah was talking about. The bor that was talking about, the Torah was talking about, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's only talking about a case where Mafke Reshuso, Evalo Yiftir Boro. So you own the bar. Movia, you don't own the bar. So therefore you're not chayav, unless you were a bad boy, Midyan Shamayim, but that's not enough to get you paying money investment. Alright, so what does Mitkavein mean in that case? Mitkavein means Mitkavein for ownership. Okay? Very good. Comes along now Rabbi Elazar, and it sounds like he wants to offer us a third approach. So says Rabbi Elazar, well, actually, the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is b'sha'at nefila. Seems to be only b'sha'at nefila. So b'sha'at nefila is the machloket. Yeah, and la'achad nefila, what are you saying? Not if you're saying there's no machlokus, meaning what? Meaning everybody agrees you're chayev because you didn't clean it up, or everybody agrees that you're potter because you don't have to clean it up if you don't own it. Well, you're not saying what you mean. So la'achad nefila what? Divrei HaKol what? Potter? How can you say to make a potter? The Braita says beferish the words velo silka. Hello, what does velo silka mean? For not cleaning it up, Rabbi Meir is mechayev. Don't tell me that for not cleaning it up, we can't be mechayev you. We are being mechayev you, because it says so in the Braita. It says velo silka. So what do you want? All right. We could have, of course, tried a tactic and said, yeah. Of course, lo sukkah is because you were at fault in having it fall. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Lo sukkah lachan nefilat pshia. Whereas I'm talking about lachan nefilat ones, perhaps, right? No, that's the question. If nikel is pshia, so maybe that's the only case that we're b'chayev. That's the point. We could have said that they're related. But Stosis, you're right. We could have said that we're related. But then why would the rabbanit have said that you would be putter in a case where it really was a pshia? That doesn't make sense again. So therefore, it's much more reasonable to say that Rabbi Meir is saying you have to be mesalikit no matter what, because it was there because of you. So whether it was your responsibility initially, right now you're going to have to clean it up. Meaning, of course, that there was time to clean it up. By the way, Tosis points out that when we talk about b'sha'at nefila, we don't necessarily mean b'sha'at nefila, that it hits him as it's falling. It's a book. I mean, it says over there, the guy slips on the water. So what do we mean? He hits while it's falling? We're not talking about bar? So this is b'sha'at nefila means as long as there wasn't time to clean it up. That's what b'sha'at nefila means. When it's not b'sha'at nefila, we mean, and there we get into the other issue, whether you should have cleaned it up. Not in the difference of what type of nezek it is, you see. Now that makes it even more beautiful. Because now all the words in the Mishnah fit perfectly. We don't have to get into other issues. That's great. This is really a lot of fun, even though it's complicated. I understand that the complexity is because there are issues that we haven't thought about before, and therefore we're immediately sensing that there's so many interactions over there, we're getting overwhelmed. But the truth is that the Gemara is presented in a very unoverwhelming way. It started simple, it was Abaya who started raising the issues. Abaya didn't talk about the fact that I could have interrelated the two. It's now that the Gemara is talking about it, we're forced to think about, but is that really true? Is it 100% clear? That since it says Velo Silka, that Rabbi Meir would hold the Chayav, even if it wasn't a Pshat. Now we need to start thinking about it. You see how nicely the Gemara was. Kineshir Yair Kino. It's gradually, you know, it goes, Alav Yerachev. So, okay, so now we're ready to start opening our mouths a little. Okay? So, you can't tell me that in a case, La'acha Nefila, everybody would say it's Pata, Rabbi Eliezer, could you? Because certainly Rabbi Meir wouldn't say it's Pata, says Beferish Velo Silka. Rabbi Meir Machayev. It's a good thing we have that Braita, because now we've covered all of our bases. The Mishnah never talked about Velo Silka. With that Braita, we have much more in place that we need to be responsible for when we're trying to make up what they're arguing about. Isn't that? You could have gotten away with that in the Mishnah, maybe, Rebbe Elazar. But you can't get away with it now that we know the bright. So now what are you going to say? You're going to say, okay, I meant that Divrei HaKol, after it lands, and the expression of after it lands means, and there was time to clean it up. So Divrei HaKol, Chayav, that's what you must be saying. No, you can't say that either. That doesn't make sense either. Because the Rabbanan say, Beferish, Melo Silko, you're Patur. So what the heck are you saying? No matter what you're saying, it's not going to fit into the Brayat. What are you telling me? The only Machlokas is Beshat Nefilat. Well, I mean, the only thing that Rebbe Elazar could be saying is, they're arguing also about Beshat Nefilah. Why is he saying this? He's saying, look, when you read that Brayta, it makes you think that the only issue is Lo Silkas, and we're only talking about the question of whether you're responsible to get something out of the way after it fell. Well, I want you to know, that's not true. The Machlokas is also about, even when there was no opportunity to be Misalek, because it just happened. It's happening now, here, on Sien Daf Yomi. So Beshat Nefilah means Af Beshat Nefilah, which of course is precisely what Pius said. So now we understand that Rebbe Elazar was only trying to tell us that he agrees with Abaya. That's what he's doing. He's saying, look, there's two different machlokas in here, and there's also machlokas about Beshat. There's one machlokas about Nitka Poshea, another machlokas about Velo Silka, and we've got to work that out with the Mishnah Brayta together. That's all. It's not a third approach. We thought it was, it's not a third approach. Rabbi Yochanan says, again, this is a third approach. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, actually, li'akar nefila machloket. The machloket is after nefila. The exact opposite of what Rabbi Elazar said. Which, of course, makes us question him in the same way. Okay. But b'shat nefila, you're saying, is no machloket. So what happens to b'shat's machloket? That might. Divrei HaKol Patur? Are you saying that everybody would hold that it's Patur? Could you say that? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan LeKaman. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan himself says later, Lo Tema Matnitin Rabbi Meir Hidu Amar Nitka Posheya. There, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan, is talking about a case over there of Mafkin Nezaka. So what happens over there is that somebody now falls, and somebody else is damaged from him because he doesn't bother getting up or doesn't pick up his things. So Rabbi Yochanan says, don't think that that's because that Mishnah later on is going Aliba to Rabbi Meir who holds Nitkal Poshea. No. Over there it's different because over there, he definitely should have picked himself up. Fine. But that's not important what the over there is. What's important is that Rabbi Meir is identified by Rabbi Yochanan as holding Nitkal Poshea. So apparently, according to Rabbi Meir, you're Chayev B'Shat Nefilah. Not because you had time to clean it up and you didn't clean it up. You're Chayev because you slipped. And all that we're talking about is that's not okay. The Mishnah later on, over there, even the Rabbanan hold that you would be Chayev. Fine. But meanwhile, Rabbi Meir is saying Nitkal Poshea. So how could Rabbi Yochanan possibly mean that everybody would hold its potter if it was B'Shat Nefilah before he had an opportunity to clean it up? Rabbi Yochanan himself makes it clear that he doesn't believe that. So maybe you'll say, well, my divrei HaKol chayav. Maybe you'll say, they're only arguing about when there was enough time to clean it up. But if it happens through a shia of nitkal, everybody would hold your chayav. No. Because, obviously, if Rabbi Yochanan said those words, don't think the Mishnah is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, holds nitkal for shia. Obviously, he's saying, but Rabbi Yehuda does not hold nitkal for shia. Because otherwise, what he's saying, don't think it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. If he himself holds everybody, is going to the nitkal for shia. So you can't mean that either. For heaven's sakes, what does it mean? So Michlau the Patri Rabbonim, obviously Rabbi Yehuda, he holds himself, holds his Patri. So he's telling you there's a Machlokas even B'Sha'at Nefilah. So what does he mean when he says, La'achar Nefilah Machlokas? Elah HaKamash B'Lan. The Mafkin is Zakav, the Hochahu the Patri Rabbonim, the Onesu. Of a Mafkin is Zakav, the Alma Mechayev. Here, for the first time, we are forced into a new relationship between the two issues. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, look, Machlokas over here is La'acha Nefila. And the reason that the Rabbanan say over here that you're Potter, even though you can clean it up, is because the way it got there in the first place was an accident. It was an onus. But Enoch Inami, if, not like what Abaya said, if when it had fallen, it was your fault, so then, of course, they would have held that you're chayev. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to point out over here. If you drop something, negligently or purposefully, depending on what sheet of a gabinetka. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda is made, and you have to clean it up. And you'd be chayav b'dinei ada. So therefore, we're saying, since over here we talked about, in a case of mafkin azakov, when you were miskaven to actually throw it down, which would be the standard bor rishus harabim. I put something down in rishus harabim. They're going to say, okay, but I'm mafkin, I don't own it. So when Rabbi Yochanan says the words, li'achar nefila machlokas, he's not saying, but b'shat nefila not. He's saying, li'achar nefila, where it fell down, and there was an accident. So there you have a machlokas. Because since Lomaisa, it begins by accident, so therefore it was a nefila. But if it wasn't through nefila, it was through hashlacha, where I meant to throw it down, then not. You were so used to the question of le'achar nefila or b'shas nefila that you weren't focusing on the word nefila. Rav Yom was talking about a completely different focus. He was saying the case over here that they're arguing about lo silko is because it's le'achar nefila, because it fell. But suppose he threw it down. There wouldn't have been a machlokas. You can't get away with throwing something down and then being mafkirit. Not like what Abaye said. No, actually, it's one extreme to the other. But according to Rabbi Meir, you're chayav because it got there. I don't care how it got there. Got there through you, you're going to be responsible to pick it up. According to Rabbi Meir, no, you're only chayav when you own it. The Torah says a bor is something that you own, because talk about where it was your rishus. You didn't own it. So then it's not considered to be a bor b'klal. Okay? So he's making it clear that the din of the cleaning up is dependent on the circumstances of the original nefila, something that Abaye was denying specifically that isn't the point, because then it would all be one big machlokas. Whereas in actuality, there must be two completely separate machlokas. So it means Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the pshat of Abaye, now represents a third approach. That mafkin is of the hachud apati rabbonim, because it's an onus, but mafkin is of the alma is mechayev. Okay, I guess as it's Rosh Chodesh and it's late, and there's so many new exciting issues here, and I'm sure you want to review it 5 or 6 times,
digest.
Or 40 times,
and digest,
that's right, so that we'll have a nice Rosh Chodesh dinner of Mafkin Azarkov, and so on, and then we'll get into it tomorrow. Rabbi Yudai, Rabbi Miskavin, Chayim, Echadami Miskavin, Omar Rabbi, you should wash your hands also, Omar Rabbi, Bimitkavin, Lori Dalamata, Miktefo, Omar Abai, Michlad, Michayev, Rabbi Meir, Afilo Nifresh on his back, Omar Abai, absolutely, Michayev, Rabbi Meir, Afilo Aznabi Yado, Omar Onusu, Vionus, Achman, Patre, Dechtevel, and Ara, Lota, Sedava, Vichy, Teman, Milan, Ktola, Avalon, Nazik, and Chayev, Viatania, Nishbra, Kado, Velo, Silko, Nafog, Gimalo, Velo, Emido, Rabbi Meir, Michayev, Ezekan, וחכמים אומרים פטור בדיני אדם וחייב בדיני שמיים ומודים חכמים לרבי מאיר ואבנו סכינו המעשור שניחן בראש גגו ונפלו ברוח מצויה והזיקו שהוא חייב ומודה רבי מאיר לרבונן במעלה קנקנים על הגג על מנת לנגוון ונפלו ברוח שאינו מצויה והזיקו שהוא פטור אלו אמר אבאי clearly רבי מאיר is not going to be בחייב you're not complete on this. And we're talking about over here betarte pligi. Pligi b'shat nefila, pligi rach nefila, b'shat nefila, we're pligi goof. And the question of whether nitkal is b'shea. Mar sava nitkal b'shea, and therefore you're chayev. Mar sava nitkal laf b'shea, and we're also pligi leach nefila, but mafkin is akav. Mar sava mafkin is akav chayav, I don't care how it got there. Umar sava patur, I don't care how it got there. Umi mai, minikton nitarte. It says, hukulu chekar b'mayim, moshaloka b'chasid. Isn't that the same thing? Meaning, b'shat nefila, which nefila doesn't literally have to mean nefila. Oh, shalaka b'chasid, yachant nefila, unimad mimat nitim b'tarte, brayta nami b'tarte. Especially, mekado, mashkachat lo, b'shat nefila, lachat nefila, b'gimalo. Lachat nefila, mashkachat lo, b'mafkin nevlato, I understand, but b'sha'at nefila, I mean, where does nitkal get into there? Poshea, I can b'shkachet lo. Nitkal gemalo is not his fault. Omer Abaye, it is. It's talking about going to Avraham b'maya derech sar'ata d'nahara. Well, echidami, idi kadak achrina poshea, v'idol kadak achrina is an onus. I mean, you're right. The b'shkachet lo, the atkel him first, and then atkel bei gamla. Okay, and then the lashon of mitkaven, alibur of Yehuda, in the second machlokas about mafkin and zakav, what the heck does mitkaven have to do with it? My mitkaveni, kam Rav Yosi. No, over there mitkaven means mitkaven lezakot becharseha. Rabbi Elazar omer b'shad nefila machlokas. Yeah, and leachan nefila what? That what? Divrei kol patur? That's ridiculous. You can Rabbi Meir nebechayim. Elamai, divrei kol chayav? I mean, that's the case of Rabbanu the patur. No, I meant b'shad nefila, meaning af b'shad nefila. We're trying to explain to you, shouldn't think it's limited to the machlokas of whether you're machleit to be mesalik, a mazik, in the nature of bor, but rather, kamash malan kidabai, that there's also machlokas of nitkal pashia. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, actually, le'achar nefila machlokas. So what do you say? B'shad nefila mai, that they're called potter. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan himself says later on, lo teima matitin Rabbi Meir idioma nitkal pashia. So clearly, Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that Rabbi Meir is mechayev. Elamai, what are you going to say? Well, maybe Divrako Chayav? No, because he says, there's a Rebbe Meir who did Kapashia. Obviously, Rebbe Yehuda doesn't agree with him. So, Michlal the Pater Rabbanon. Elakamashma, the Mafkin is Zakav Dahacha, the Pater Rabbanon, because it's the Fila, that's what he's saying. Because they hold it's anonymous. But a normal Mafkin, Mizakav, the Alma, where in fact it's a Pshia, over there, certainly they would be Mechayev.